The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another broadcast of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network, and I'm excited about today's show, in which we will meet Sister Faustina Maria, who is part of a new community of sisters in Ohio called the Children of Mary. And I first have to tell you all about how this encounter with Sister Faustina Maria even came about. I've told you all time and time again that I rely on our Lord to somehow bring me guests, the guests that He wants on this show. Well, on December 13th of last year, my husband and I took a little road trip to visit our dear friends in Peoria, Illinois. Larry took the day off, and we visited the museum and the tomb of Fulton Sheen at the Cathedral of St. Mary in Peoria. As we finished our little pilgrimage and were approaching our car on the parking lot, we saw a group of nuns getting out of their vans. It was a big group of nuns, all in full habits, white robes, black veils, and what stood out to me was the color purple. The front and back panel of their habit was purple. I had never seen nuns in purple before. So, of course, I went up and asked them who they were, where they were from, and why their habit had purple on it. The next thing I knew, we were all talking with different sisters and making connections. It was so joyful. We stood on that parking lot for at least 15 minutes getting to know the sisters. They gave us books, holy cards, and all kinds of information. And, of course, I couldn't help but ask if they wanted to be a guest on the Pearl of Great Price radio show. So here we are. Is that amazing or what? By God's divine providence, I met Sister Faustina Maria at 2:30 in the afternoon on a parking lot in Peoria. And by the way, the reason their habit is purple, black, and white is that it symbolizes Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. These sisters are literally giving witness to Christ's passion, signified by the purple, death, the black veil, and resurrection, the white robe, through their habit every day. It's gorgeous. So today, I'm going to introduce you all to a new community of women religious, the Children of Mary, founded by Mother Margaret Mary in 2002, who, after spending 11 years living in silence and solitude in a private hermitage, felt the call to satiate the thirst of Jesus to be loved in the most blessed sacrament. The sisters are semi-contemplative who have taken four saints as their patrons, St. John Paul II, St. John Vianney, St. Therese of Lisieux, and St. Teresa of Calcutta. Their apostolic work includes spreading the love of our Eucharistic Lord, giving retreats and conferences, visiting the elderly, and working among the poor. They also have an active prison ministry at the Dayton Correctional Institute. Now, I know that most of you probably have never heard of the Children of Mary. I certainly hadn't. But that's the beauty of this show and the beauty of the church. It is inexhaustible in all its richness. There is always something new to discover, and God always calls His sons and daughters to give of themselves for the needs of the church in our time, in our day, just as He did 2,000 years ago. So, Google them to see their beautiful, growing community. Go to www.childrenofmary.net. Our guest today, Sister Faustina Maria, felt the call from our Lord to give her life to Him as a sister of the Children of Mary, and she said yes. She was born in Reno, Nevada, lived in California until she was 14, then moved to the little town of Mammoth Springs on the border of Arkansas and Missouri, where she lived for the next 6 years. During those teenage years, Sister Faustina Maria was homeschooled and worked at a local gas station. She moved to Ohio when she was 20 years old to join the Children of Mary and entered the community on November 21st, 2012. Sister Faustina Maria made her final profession on May 13th, 2018. A fun fact about her, she is a convert to the Catholic faith. Well, welcome, Sister Faustina Maria, to the Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you so much, Patty.
And thank you for joining us by telephone from your community in Cincinnati, Ohio. We are thrilled to introduce our listeners to you, your story, and your community today. So let's start at the very beginning, a little bit about your family and growing up. Obviously, in your bio, we know that you are a convert. So tell us about your family and what were some of the seeds from your childhood that pointed you in the direction of the Catholic faith or even to your future vocation?
Sure. So the family that I grew up in, there was no faith. So we
were none. Oh, wow.
None. Yes. And I never really knew much about God at all. I didn't know who Jesus was. I'm sure I had seen crucifixes and things, but no one had ever sat down with me and said, you know, God is who made you and created you. Well, I had a friend that was a neighbor, and I had been to Protestant churches with her. And so when I was at these Protestant churches, what I saw was people acting strange. And so in my mind, God equals makes people act weird. So I didn't really want much to do with God because they were, I'm sure, had a loving relationship with the Lord, but they didn't explain to me what was happening there. So I didn't really want much to do with it. But it was a beautiful story, and I'm so grateful to Catholic Radio because if it was not for Catholic Radio, I would not be Catholic.
You're kidding.
No. Yes, my mom, she had a rental car for her work. Now, my mom was a fallen away Catholic, and I didn't know this because she'd never spoken to me about the Lord, but she got this rental car for her work, and she turns on the car, and it happens to be turned on to Catholic Radio.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and she's driving along and listening to it, and it was a call-in show, Catholic Answers call-in show, where people would call in and answer questions, and she's hearing this truth.
Yes.
And she's, oh, my gosh, she's just struck so much so she had to pull the car over. And she said, that's it. I have to come back. The Catholic Church is true. I have to come back.
Wow.
So that's when I was 12 years old. And what's interesting, though, is that she didn't force it on me. She didn't say, okay, this is what we're doing. I'm the mom. You're the kid. We're going to Mass. She said, this is what I'm doing, and you don't have to. And so I said, well, fine, I won't. So every week, I'd sit in the car, and my mom would go in and to Mass, and I would stay in the car. And, well, I had a friend that would spend the night sometimes on Saturday nights and would sit out there with me. And she says, you know, let's just go in. I'm sick of sitting out here. And I said, all right, fine. And so I went in, and it was the first time I ever experienced the Mass. And right away I noticed that it was different than the Protestant services that I'd been to because what initially drew me was the order. We were all standing at the same time, sitting at the same time.
Yes.
So everything was focused on the center of the altar, of what was happening on the altar. And that intrigued me. And meanwhile, I'm hearing Catholic Radio in my home, and I'm hearing the truth, and ultimately what made me want to get baptized was communion. Everyone would go up and receive communion, and I would have to stay in the pew.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my mom, what is this? What's happening? What are you doing when you go up there? And she explained to me, it's Jesus. We're receiving Jesus. And I didn't understand what baptism was, but all I knew is that I had to be baptized if I wanted to receive Jesus too. And so I said, I want to be baptized.
Wow. So you asked to be baptized. And how old were you when you were baptized?
12 years old.
12 years old. That is beautiful. And I of course, you saying that Catholic Radio is instrumental. Well, the reason why you're even Catholic, that's music to our ears here on Catholic Radio. But we have stations. Part of our Covenant Network family is down in southern Missouri there, especially on the eastern side of the state, part of Covenant Network. So that is so interesting and beautiful, of course. We hear conversion stories like that all the time here at Covenant Network. But I had no idea that that was part of your story. No clue whatsoever. Okay, so you're 12 years old and you become Catholic. But did you ever think that you would become a nun?
No, I don't think I even knew necessarily much about nuns at that point. So where I really messed up was I didn't have a daily prayer life. I knew that it was a mortal sin to miss Mass on a Sunday, so you better believe I'd be there every Sunday. But outside of that, I didn't have a daily prayer life. And when I was about 16, 17, there was this boy that I knew And I knew the Catholic Church was the true church, and so I actually brought him into the church, and I was his sponsor.
Wow.
Yes, and so once he came into the church, he said to me, he said, you know we should be praying. You know that, don't you? And I said, oh, yeah, you're right. And so he convicted my heart, and suddenly in this compartmentalized box of my religion, prayer was flashing red, and I realized, okay, I need to be doing this. So I said, you know, I heard about this thing. It's called the rosary. It's like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We can check the box off and go on with our life. It'll be great, in more or less words. And I thought it was going to be very simple, but for anyone that has maybe attempted to begin the rosary, to pray it every day, it's actually quite difficult to build that habit.
Sure, it certainly is. But notice that God doesn't need much. All he needed was you to even not the best motives in the world, but just that saying, okay, I at least need to pray, and I'm going to, even that thought, which seems a little callous of, I can check this box off and go on, that's all God needs.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so you started praying the rosary, and then what? How did you hear the invitation or this call from God?
Well, where I was, you know, at that point in my life, our Lady, you know, if we're sincere, like you said, all we need is a true sincerity of heart. And so Our Lady gave me a series of graces when I started to pray the rosary. And first of all, I had a little scriptural rosary because I didn't really know anything about the faith, even though I was in the church. When I say the faith, I mean more or less scripture. I didn't know the heart and soul of the faith in that sense. So I had a scriptural rosary that taught me the scripture while I was praying. And she gave me a series of graces. And one of the major graces that she gave me to realize was that I was totally miserable. And if you would have asked me, are you happy? I would have been like, yeah, I'm happy. Life's great. I got friends. I got my mom takes care of me. I got a job. I'm happy. What do you mean? But I realized, and Our Lady was showing me, strip it all away. Take away the friends, the computer, the phone, the music, the whatever. Take away everything and put me alone in a room with the rosary.
Wow.
And silence forced me to look at myself. And I realized, whoa. I'm not actually doing too good. And Our Lady was showing me that my life was a constant chase after fun. So I felt like I was happy because I was constantly distracted from the fact that I was miserable. So I constantly have to be doing things right, that are quote-unquote fun.
Yeah.
And what started to happen as Our Lady was giving me more and more graces to admit that certain things in my life needed to change, that things needed to go, and I needed to start living, you know, as I was seeing her living, as I was meditating on the mysteries of the rosary. And what started to happen, Patty, is I started to become actually happy. And I didn't even know I wasn't. But I started to taste this true joy that comes from living according to the will of God, you know, going to confession regularly, receiving our Lord and Holy Communion, avoiding the near occasion of sin, and praying every day, this joy that doesn't have to do with just external experience. And so things started to escalate, and I started to read the lives of the saints. And just this idea that captivated me, you know, I started reading St. Teresa, and this idea that you can come into such deep intimacy with God that he's actually knowable. And that's what I was also starting to experience. That was another grace the Blessed Mother was giving me. Because if you would have said to me, do you know Jesus? I would have said, yeah, I know Jesus. He walked the earth 2,000 years ago. He healed people. He died on the cross for me. Yeah, I know Jesus. But I didn't know that he was really knowable within your heart.
Wow.
And that's what I was starting to experience.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Graces of that prayer time. Again, just when you go ahead and allow yourself to have an interior life, it's amazing what God can do. And like you said, the graces that he will give you. So how did you then, or did you meet the Children of Mary first, or did you hear a call to religious life and then find them? How did you find your community?
Well, at this point, you know, wasn't quite sure of anything. And I was, you know, thinking, well, this boy that I brought into the faith, we've been doing everything together. We've been praying together. So what about if God brought this guy into my life because he wants me to marry him?
Sure. Natural thought.
Yes. And so I was open to the idea of a religious vocation because I was thinking, it's a little bit strange that everything that I'm reading and really loving, they're all religious sisters or they're religious brothers or they're priests. And maybe I should think about that being an option for me. So I started to take it to prayer. And I can tell you one thing is absolutely certain if you're discerning a religious vocation, that it's very, very simple on the part of the person discerning. All we have to do is get to that point where we can authentically say to the Lord, whatever you will, Lord, I want. If you want me to be a sister or a priest or a brother, let's do it. I'm ready. If you want me to be married, I'm ready. I'm abandoned to your will. Just show me your will. Mm. And so I was given the grace to be at that point. Jesus, all I want is what you want. Just show me what you want. And the feeling that I had when I would pray about being married, now the boy was head over heels in love with me. And he would have made a wonderful husband and father. It was ideal. But when I would pray about it, interiorly, there was like a dissatisfaction or like a, it was the sense of like a glove that didn't fit. Like I couldn't just say yes, and I didn't know why.
Mm. Wow.
And I wanted to put a label. I wanted to know why. But I remember there's a long story but that we probably don't have time for. But I remember that I was kneeling before an image of our Lord. And I was just, everything seemed so perfect on the external level. And I was just like, Jesus, what is going on? Why is it so difficult? Why don't I know what to do? And there was a moment where I just said, you know, Jesus, I'm just going to be for you. Mm. And I consented. I it wasn't like, oh, all of a sudden Jesus revealed to me, you're supposed to be a sister. That's what I want you to do. And I said, oh, yay, okay, yes, I will. No, I said, yes, not knowing, in blind faith. I just said, I'm going to do this. And as soon as I said yes, interiorly there was this peace that descended, and I knew that was the right thing. It was the feeling of that glove, the opposite of that glove that didn't fit. Suddenly, it was that glove that did fit.
Wow.
And I knew after saying yes, this was, in fact, what God had created me for.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, so you knew that you were created to be a sister. How did you find the Children of Mary?
So then I went online. Because I didn't have, in the town that I lived in, on the border of Arkansas and Missouri, is 2% Catholic. There's no youth groups, there's only like one or two. I mean, it was a very small, it was a mission parish that I was in. They don't even have daily mass. So I never saw a sister, never heard about that, only what I had seen in these books. So I didn't understand about charism. I didn't know that there's these different charisms. I just thought, you're a sister, they're all the same, and that just means you want to be a saint.
Oh no, each one, you're right, there is a different charism, and that's what's so beautiful. So did you Google sisters, or what did you do?
Yes, and I told the Lord, I said, well, I don't understand all these different communities, but I just want to belong to you, so I'll just go to the first one that accepts me. Well, there was a couple that I was looking at, and I had only had enough money to visit one or the other of these two communities. And I found Children of Mary, and I was in contact with them. And I found this other community of Cloistered Sisters, and was in contact with them. Well, Children of Mary are very young and active and busy, and this other community was rather dying out. And so they were a little bit quicker to my emails and a little more enthusiastic about my visit. So I said, well, okay, I'll go and see them. So I went out, and it was beautiful. I had a wonderful visit. And I didn't realize at the time how drastic this was, but I knew that I was called, and I had a great peace there. So I said, okay, well, yes, let's do it. So they invited me back, and I had never been in the cloister. I was only through the grill, but they invited the community in, and they said, we'll accept you. And I stuck my arm through the grill, and they took measurements for my habit.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yep. I was going to go sell everything and come back. And so that was the plan. So I go back, and I'm ready to do all this. And then my mom, we're at the library, and she's looking on the computer, and she says, oh, just look at this website of Children of Mary. Just look at them again. I said, no, Mom, I'm not going to look at Children of Mary. I already know what I'm doing. And she's like, come on. And I said, oh, okay. So I started looking, and oh, no. Suddenly, I couldn't get them out of my mind.
Wow.
And so I said, oh, this is not good, Lord. Why are you doing this? Why is this happening? So I called the Mother Superior of the Cloistered community, and I said, told her what I was going through. And she said, you know, that can be a temptation from the devil, tempting you away from your true vocation here with us. And I said, you're right. You're right. It could be. I said, okay, give me 3 days to pray about it, and I'll call you back. So I hung up, and I knelt down to pray, and I said, Lord, you know I just want to do your will. All I want is what you want. I said, in 3 days, I'm going to call her back. Please, Lord, if this desire to visit Children of Mary is not from you, then take this away. Take this away, please, Lord. And so each day I prayed that. And each day the desire to visit Children of Mary did not go away. It got stronger and stronger.
Wow.
And maybe my imagination embellished this a little bit, but this is how it seemed to me. I would walk each day to work at the gas station that I worked at, and I would pass this field, and it was just a dead field. And the first day, dead field, second day, dead field. And on the third day, one day later, just didn't seem like much could have happened, but it was entirely covered with purple flowers. And I felt in my heart that it was our Lord.
Of course, the purple. I'm telling you, the purple. And your habit is beautiful, by the way, the purple front. Do you call that a stole? What is that in the front piece? What is that?
It's called the scapular.
Okay, well, the scapular is purple, and it's gorgeous. And see, our Lord used that to let you know. I love it, the purple flowers. You knew. That's how you knew.
Yeah. So, and I called them. I called the superior back, and I said, you know, I just have to visit. I don't know if I'm going to join, but I have to go see. And so I came out and visited Children of Mary. And one thing I noticed, because I had the same piece that I had when I was at the other place, but this time it was accompanied by a joy that I didn't quite feel at the first place. I felt at home and a joy amongst the sisters. And there was a lot of things that they were already doing that I was feeling called to do, even in my own personal spiritual life. And so I just knew that it was where God wanted me to be, and I joined shortly after.
That's beautiful. Okay, so when you first entered, what surprised you the most about religious life or about yourself? And then what have been some of your greatest joys and experiences of being a sister?
Well, when I first joined, rather interestingly, I had actually never been on a retreat when I joined. I'd never been in silence. Like, I've never done a silent retreat. And it was interesting initially to have that time of just learning what it means to belong entirely to the Lord.
Sure.
And in silence, and all the beautiful things that come through that.
That's beautiful. Tell us about your community. Anything that you would like to just share? I mean, I know you have a fourth and a fifth vow, not just poverty, chastity, and obedience, or the ways that you spread the love of the Eucharistic Lord, or what you've been doing in apostolic work. Give our listeners a little bit in these final minutes of the sense of what you have been doing, because it's an active community, as a sister.
Sure. So we are a semi-contemplative community, so a lot of our day is spent in prayer. And our mission, of course, is to quench our Lord's thirst to be loved in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And that firstly starts with our own love. So we've realized that Jesus is alive, and he is with us in the Eucharist, and he's longing for this relationship of love with us. So we offer ourselves to receive any rejected love that, you know, he's trying to give to others. And there's a great disbelief, unfortunately, within the church about the Lord's true presence, and which I wouldn't have even believed if I wouldn't have seen it myself just through the vocation, through giving talks and questioning people about what do you really believe about the Eucharist. I found that it is true. There is many that don't believe. And so we love him with our own love. And then we go out impelled by that love to help other people to realize that he is truly alive and with us in the Eucharist. And we do that. Our apostolates are extremely broad, and we're very open to the Holy Spirit, because it's anything that we can do to help people realize Jesus in the Eucharist and that he wants to be in relationship with them. So there's nothing that's closed to in our active life. What really helps people to understand about who we really are, the very heart and soul and center of what it means to be a child of Mary. It comes from the vision of St. Margaret Mary. Now, St. Margaret Mary, when she was in adoration, beautifully, you know, we are blessed to know that in adoration, it's literally Christ, but the veil was lifted, and she saw Jesus standing there looking like a man, and he had his heart. He was actually taking his heart out of his chest and holding his heart out to her. Maybe you've seen that image before.
Yes.
He wasn't just pointing to his heart, but actually holding out his heart. And he said to her, "Behold this heart which has so loved men that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself with love for them." He said, "But from the greater part of humanity, all I receive in return for my love, indifference, ingratitude, outrage, sacrilege." He said, "This wounds me more than anything that I suffered during my passion. How I wish they would make me some return for my love." And I know when I first heard that, I thought, what? He said it hurt, wounds him more. Our indifference toward him in the Eucharist wounds him more than anything he suffered in his passion. Have you seen the Passion of the Christ?
Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
Exactly.
And I thought, how could that be true, Lord? But if we think about what the church teaches, what we believe as Catholics, that the Mass is the representation of Calvary, actually making present Calvary again to us, then it makes all the sense in the world.
Yes,
because
does.
Jesus, as God, he's outside of time. So he died for my sins, for your sins, for all of our sins, but we didn't exist 2,000 years ago. So he was dying for things that hadn't even happened yet.
Correct.
Because he knew that they would come to be. And he willed to stay on that cross. As God, he could have said, "Look what you've done. I sent you prophet after prophet, and you've rejected them. And when I came down, I was the Messiah. I healed your children, and you've crucified me. Well, you failed the test, you know, and he could have destroyed the human race. And it would have been
didn't. But he didn't. Praise God. Okay, Sister Faustina Maria, I am so sorry, but we are almost out of time. So we actually need to conclude our show today. I know that we could talk forever. Your witness is so beautiful. Your love and your joy just is exuding as you speak to us about the charism and the heart of Jesus and wanting to make him known. And we thank you so much for giving us your witness and your testimony today and telling us a little bit about the children of Mary. But we need to conclude our show right now praying for vocation. So listeners and everyone, if you will just join me right now as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation with Mary. I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Sister Faustina Maria, thank you for being our guest today on the Pearl of Great Price radio show.
Okay, thank you.
All right, join us next time for the Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to listen to previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.